Biz. Inside Industry Insights. FM.
Hello, I'm Niler9 and welcome to part one of the Music Biz. In this six-part series, I'll be sharing everything you ever wanted to know about the business of music. We've spoken to bands, bookers, producers, PR gurus, stylists, managers, lawyers, all the people who can teach you about the pleasures and pitfalls of this infamous industry. We'll be digging deep on gigs, PR and marketing, style, getting paid, and how to grow your career internationally. Tonight, though, let's start with the fundamentals. In making this series, we spoke to countless industry people. And if there's one thing they all agreed on, it's...
songs are the most important thing.
That's Conor O'Donoghue from Charttoppers Wild Youth, echoing the views of so many others. If the songs are important, then so is the songwriting.
Just try and write all the time and don't stop, even if you think it's bad, because all shit is fertilizer. You can make it soul, make it real, make it rock. Make it blues, make it bounce, make it hip hop. Any style, any place, anywhere, but nothing compares, no.
The most valuable asset as an artist is if you can write songs or if you have melody ideas, you know, that's the gold. Baby, you're my favorite song.
That's Chris Bubenzer from Diffusion Lab, who has helped craft the distinctive sound of artists like Jafaris and Sole. Ruth Dan is a Grammy-nominated artist who's co-written songs for Britney, JoJo, Niall Horan, Westlife and John Legend, amongst others. Success came later, but her journey started at the age of 7.
Practicing the craft, writing all the time, especially when you're younger, you really have to work that muscle, and in ways you've got to do the 10,000 hours. If I hadn't been writing so much on my own in my bedroom, I would never have been ready for that room that day with Billy Steinberg, who's, you know, written Like a Virgin and Eternal Flame.
You shouldn't be too discouraged by your lack of technical skills. According to CMAT, it doesn't matter where you start. It's how you finish that counts.
So a CMAT demo is very bad. I am the wrong woman. Well, but it's probably a good point to talk about the fact that you can have really bad demos and still get to the end point. Why do you hate me? Why?
Why do you hate me? Why? To help you get there, you could consider working with a producer. According to journalist and DJ Louise Bruton, they can help realise an artist's vision.
I think a good producer is probably someone who can see what the end product should be. Bringing together all these invisible connections.
I think if a band works with a producer and the band has a very specific style and they have a very specific goal that they want to achieve with their music, then the producer that they work with should be the kind of person that can accommodate that. But it's also worth noting that there's a lot of pop acts who are very successful that they seek out specific producers for specific styles, and they'll get the producer to put their kind of trademark stamp on it, and that's a marriage that works as well. It's no one size fits all.
As a producer with Diffusion Lab, Chris has a collaborative approach. He often starts the process with an artist by checking the references.
First things first, in the first damn verse, I'ma tell you.
Every artist is influenced by a certain sound or maybe somebody else. And then that's normally a good starting point. It's like, okay, well, who do you listen to? How do you see your sound? And then I guess to kind of use that as your foundation and then try and turn it into something unique that sounds like them. Cracked in your heart, you don't deserve it. That thing was perfect and you was worth it. Still
are. I just hate that we're apart. Working with a producer enables an artist to concentrate on the most important element, the songwriting.
If it's an EP, I could have written 40 songs. I could have 40 demos. So I'll spend a lot of time then listening back over everything. And I'll try and narrow that down to like 5 or 6 songs.
Most of my writing is done on iPhone voice memo. Instead of being lyrics, it's mainly like sounds that I was winging at the time. Let me just hear it again. This is very embarrassing and I can't believe I'm doing this, but what can I say? I'm a gift. I can save it, burn it up inside an old grey tavern. Saved you, burn it up and burn it out. I'd have saved you, but you said that I don't really care for you. And that's all you're getting.
Somebody once said, if you build it, they will come. But what if they don't? All great music deserves an audience, but it doesn't always get one. That's why you need PR and marketing. Good PR and marketing is the lifeline to your eventual audience, ensuring they find, see, and hear your music. Like a lot of things these days, it all starts online.
Everything seems to start with a tweet these days. That's where all the relationships seem to be starting now between a lot of musicians and journalists, sliding into someone's DM and asking, how do I do this?
Journalist and DJ Louise Bruton is used to being contacted by aspiring artists and advises you to choose email over social.
Get in contact with them there first, ask for an email, and then use that email only from that point on. Because if you use social media as the only way to communicate with someone, the information that you're using will get lost.
That's how you get in touch. But what should you send? Here's Sheena Madden, director at Amplify Music Agency.
The best thing you can do is get a really strong electronic press kit together. Have your photographs, have your press release. Make sure that you have those assets and that, you know, that you're presenting yourself in the best way that you possibly can and that it's a good representation of how good you are as a musician.
If you're doing it yourself, putting your best foot forward is essential. Optionally, you could work with a PR professional who can plan your campaign. But remember, it's crucial to allow planning time.
When you're planning your release, I think it's really important to give yourself at least 3 months, you know, from when your single is finished to release time. So what I'll often do with clients is, before a single release, we'll sit down 3 months ahead of that and we'll plan out the calendar.
Of course, you'll need to think about what content you can populate your feeds with. Grammy-nominated artist Rutan knows how important social media is in today's music industry.
It's a tool. It is a promotional tool. It's a marketing tool. Artists really are expected to be a video editor, put together their vlogs and blogs and Insta stories, and it's a really big piece for a lot of labels of marketing. Content is the word, isn't it? It's like you always need content.
As one of the editorial team at Spotify, James Foley oversees a lot of their music selection.
On a digital platform, it's really important to be able to add as much information and links as possible, so you're able to link out to your main social media platforms.
He says the more content you upload, the better.
An up-to-date bio, up-to-date press shots. I think those things are really important to be able to create a sense of what you're about as an artist.
All of these things will improve your chances of your music being seen by his real human playlisters.
Yeah, we're not robots. We're real passionate music fans who love music and who are out and about at festivals, at shows.
Then it's time to mobilize your social media following to give the Spotify bots a bit of a nudge.
So if you have a big social following and all those social following go and start streaming your song, Spotify will notice that and they'll see a song starting to pop from the algorithms. If your streams start dipping and you don't release for like 6 months or 7 months, the algorithm doesn't pick you up. So you keep releasing music. They do soft releases, big releases. So you kind of have a song in between, and then the next one they'll bring to radio, and then the next one will be a soft one. And then it's people constantly keeping releasing music.
That's Rutan explaining what sounds like a lot of work. According to Louise Bruton, it's probably better to outsource.
It shouldn't be a musician's job to focus about the algorithm. That should be, if they are paying someone else in to be their PR person or to be their marketing person, then that should be their job. I don't think the words algorithm should come out of an artist's mouth at any point.
If others do the algorithms, you can do the music. When I wrote this song, I was on the ceiling. No,
it won't be long till I crack this feeling. I think when you're creating music, you should be creating it from a completely music place. What's the best sound? What's the best lyric? What's the best song? I think if you're thinking too much about what you think Spotify needs or what this person needs or the label wants this or whatever, you'll always work yourself into a place where you're not writing because of the song, you're writing for someone else. And the best songs in the world and all the stories you'll hear about the biggest songs are when people forget about all that and just write the song. And then it's how to present it.
All the PR in the world won't save you if the songs aren't there. If the songs stand up, then the marketing is made easier and the rewards will be worthwhile.
Historically, Irish acts have never been great at the visual look. You know, if you go back to, like, I mean, the bands of the 80s and 90s and look at their photographs, you wore the leather jacket, you wore the kind of like the waistcoat, you had a ponytail. If you didn't have a ponytail, you wore a hat. It was quite naff. But you look at the way bands and acts present themselves now, it's totally different.
Sometimes a band is really on top of everything. They're holding on to control so hard that it is stopping them from being productive. And then there's the other side of that, where bands are too easygoing. They will jump at the first opportunity where a newspaper or a magazine is like, we want to put you in our magazine and we're going to send a photographer. And the photographer makes them do something absolutely ridiculously stupid, and that haunts them for the rest of their career. There's a middle ground there between having too much control and having none of it. You do have to pick a photographer who you trust, who has a good reputation, or at least who you know is on your side and isn't going to make you look like a dick, that is going to make you absolutely look like the coolest version of yourself. Hip hop was this kind of style and pop was this kind of style, and it was extremely clear cut. But now when you look at the likes of like people who span different genres, like Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey and people like that, and you're looking at them going, oh, okay, so a pop princess isn't really a thing anymore. You can really mix things up, and I think that's because all the genres are mixing up as well. You know, we don't really identify with one kind of tribe anymore, therefore we don't really have to look like one particular thing anymore.
So, musical tribes may be dismantling, but are visuals more important depending on what type of music you're making? Here's Trevor Dietz, the manager with Fontaines DC.
In the purely pop world, I mean, visual is really everything. But I think in rock and roll world or indie world or whatever you want to call it, I would like to think that the songs speak louder than what a band looks like or how they're dressed.
A lot of the artists that I play, if I was to look at them, I don't know if I know what all of them look like. And I don't think that's really important.
John Hegarty is the host of 2FM's The Alternative.
I don't want to say, oh, that guy's got a beard. I'm not going to play him. I don't like beards. But, you know, if you want to be a massive, massive kind of global name, you've got to have everything. Your look, your image is critically important then. What's not far?
Hi, I'm Niall O'Nine and welcome to episode 5 of The Music Biz. If you're an actor or artist on the make, nothing beats the buzz of creating, crafting and sharing your own music. But you also deserve the financial rewards that come with success. To get them, there's at least one thing you need to avoid.
Not being paid. Nah.
From an early part in his career, Jafar has sometimes deliberately prioritised exposure over cash.
I mean, there was gigs I took on purpose, knowing that I wasn't going to get paid because somebody promised me exposure, do you get me? And I'm pretty sure that's happened to a lot of people.
It was a thing of, I felt like I wasn't in a position to get paid, which is the first mistake that anyone could make.
I used to do a lot of like, oh, I'll do that for free for you, I'll do that for free. And I think that's really important when you're starting off. But sometimes people can try to take advantage of that and not pay you.
Don't shoot. Gun sound.
Performers Jafaris, JLOL and Ruthann expressing how difficult it can be for an artist to stand their ground in the early days when exposure is an important propeller. Glenn Hines is the director at Startup Accountants, who works with a lot of upcoming businesses, including venues and musicians. He's seen a lot of clients hampered by the artist's dilemma.
It's an expectation on thing for bands and musicians and it's a perception in the industry that they need to work for free in order to kind of get future gigs and grow, and they ask for money or demand to be paid for their services, they might lose out on the opportunity. So it's the same for a lot of industries, but in particular I think the music industry.
As a creative, numbers may not be your thing, but that doesn't mean you should ignore their importance.
It used to be the case that music industry was full of dodgy people. It was full of people who basically like made their money and made their living by ripping off young artists. The news is basically they're still around. They're still out there, you know, and they're still preying on young acts.
There are a couple of times in Ireland where I have been initially promised a fee and then I do the event and then the fee never materializes. And that is extremely, extremely, extremely infuriating.
C-Matt is one musician who has seen fees magically disappear into thin air.
If they think that the artists will forget, they don't forget. People may not remember things you said to them, but they'll always remember how they felt when they didn't get paid.
Doing it yourself allows you to know what you need in a manager and what you don't need in a manager. That person needs to have a learner's mentality. You get me? They need to know how to handle an artist like yourself. Whatever music you do, whatever you're trying to do, what type of genre you're trying to do, they need to know how that ticks.
A lot of artists do it without picking up the phone and asking advice. You know, I mean, I think within the Irish industry, the majority of people, whether it's the managers or myself or any of the other lawyers, would give them time on the phone to explain to them the bad and the good of a deal, or the bad and the good of what they're being offered. I'm surprised the amount of artists that don't reach out.
Glenn Hines, Director of Startup Accountants, also concurs.
They pick up the phone to a really good advisor or an accountant. You'll find that you'll get a lot of goodwill and support for minimal cost. Most good accountants and advisors will give that time.
I know it's hard to do because you just want to make music. You get me? You don't want to have to think about business stuff or whatever. It's a business at the end of the day, and you're your own CEO.
The music business isn't for everyone.
Journalist Jim Carroll has worked in and around the music scene for more than 20 years. He has a sobering analysis.
One thing I've seen over the years, I've seen bands get very bitter about a lack of success. They blame all kinds of people. They blame the drummer. They blame the manager. They blame the lawyer. They blame their mothers. The way the music industry operates, the clue is in the name. It's an industry.
You want to know how I get away with everything?
It's a business, and if you're in an industry or business, it's all about selling product. If you're not comfortable with that, it's time to leave the room.
I'm going to be really honest with you. It's a really hard career to make a living out of.
It's definitely really important to have those experiences. It grows character as a band, and like, you know, if everything's just easy, you're not going to really like survive.
As fans, sometimes we forget, particularly bands at that stage, the work that goes in. It's the making of breaking of a great band.
Those hard yards are an important part of the journey. According to Jim Carroll, it's half the battle.
One, write brilliant songs. Two, be prepared for an awful lot of hard work. You need a record label. You don't need a record label in this day and age. You need to be good at playing live. Has anyone seen any of playing live in the last 10 years? Every single thing you can come up with, bar those two things. Hard work, great songs. That's all it comes down to.